last week and a week before that, we dived into something that we felt in the Lord, and that is we feel like it is time for us to build. And so if you haven't listened to the last two sermons, I would really encourage you to catch up on them. We've got it on the website. And so we really just feel like in this time where we are at as a church, it's time for us to build. And we were speaking about how important it is for a building to be built on the proper foundation of Jesus as the cornerstone, with the apostolic and the prophets as the foundation that we build on, so that we can build properly. And so, I mean, please go and listen to it. It's not something that I'm going to re-preach today. And then Paul shared last week on us being a church as a family, which was excellent. Really making sure we know one another, what it means to be a family, because, you know, it's easy to just belong to something without knowing the people, but God is calling us to be a family. And I want to ask, have you worked on it? Those of you who listen to it, have you worked on it this week? Have you worked on it this past week to be a family, to get to know someone? Or was it possibly one of those preachers that just one ear in, one ear out? Because so often that can be the case when we listen to a preach. In the moment, you feel like, yeah, that's good. But then Monday comes and we don't do something with it. And I want to encourage us to take hold of the word with joy and apply it to our lives. Otherwise, nothing is going to change. And God is calling us to be a church that reflects Him. And we always need to work at it. I'm hearing a feedback. Is it just me? Anyway, so the scripture that I used a couple of weeks ago is that God is taking me and you as living stones, as a brick, and He's building us together in His house. And so I spoke about a wall. If you look to your left or your right, you'll see a wall with bricks, and it's built in together, which is making up this house. But do you see in this wall that it's not just bricks that holds it together? There's actually cement between the bricks that holds it together, binds it together. And I don't know the science behind it. I'm sure there's many more things in building a house. But when I look at it as a, you know, just a normal guy, I see cement between the bricks. Is there anything else to it? What's it? I don't even know what it means. But it, for me, it's cement. I see cement between the bricks. You know, and I want to speak about something that I believe is the cement between us. You know, you as a living stone, as a brick being built together in God's house, what binds us together? What holds us together? And the Bible speaks about it a lot. You know, loving one another, caring for one another, all those things. And I do feel like there's many things that we can speak about that really binds us together. But one thing that I want to speak about, and I want to look at the life of Jesus. And can I say this? The world will tell us different things on what will bind us together, what will hold us together. The world will show you, no, if you do this, if you do that, then that is unity. But actually, we need to look at the life of Jesus and what He has called us to and apply that. And so I want to read in Philippians chapter 2. If you do have your Bibles with you, you're welcome to open up with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. And it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Sure, there's a lot for us here. But the one thing that I want to highlight this morning that I believe is vitally important for us is Jesus being a servant. Jesus being a servant. Have you ever thought about Jesus being a servant? And He's calling us to follow Him, right? Amen? He's calling us to follow Him. And so it means He's calling us to be a servant as well. And today, servant really is a bit of a swear word. But actually, no, this is what God has called us to do, is to be a servant. We need to be those who follow him his way, not according to the ways of culture around us. And so I want to speak about serving this morning. I want to mention a couple of points on what does it mean to be called to serve. What does it look like to be called to serve? Because this is the way of God. All right. And so the first point that I want to speak on about serving is, serving really is who God is. Okay. Oh yeah. You need to explain. What do you mean? Who of you agree with me that God is love? All right. So if God is love, it means his very nature is love, and whatever he does, he does it out of love. Whether it's discipline or whether it's just comforting or encouraging, whatever he does, it's out of love. And we just read the very nature of God is he's a servant. So yes, he did come to serve, but in his very nature, he's a servant. Yes, Jesus came to love, but in his very nature, he is love. And in the same way, he is a servant. And I'm hoping I'm breaking some boxes in your mind a bit this morning, but that is who God is, that he is a servant. And in Mark 10, I don't think I gave you that scripture, but it says that whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus coming to the earth, dying for me and you on the cross, not just to act on the cross, but actually everything before that, he came to serve. How opposite is that to the ways of this world? If you get a bit of a title or a bit of a position or profile, you need to serve me. And that is so ungodly. And you see it often in churches around the world. Climb the ranks, and now you kind of, you know, whatever the church does is there to serve the guy in front. But that is so not God. God's way is down. God's way is, I come to serve you. I come to serve you. Because I'm a servant. That's who I am. And yes, he came to serve, but he's a servant. You know, if you know that you can serve without having the heart of serving. I mean, it can be an outward act, but in the heart, it can actually communicate something else. But not Jesus. His very heart is to serve. His very heart is to, whatever is needed, I want to serve. I want to serve you. And this morning isn't a preach about you. It's about looking at Jesus and his heart for serving and his heart for how we should live, so that we can learn from it, so that we can go and serve his way. So serving isn't something we come to do. It's something that we come to be. And I want you to remember that. Because in this church, I mean, we don't own a building. So what it means is we often arrive here on a Sunday morning. It's all good now. But during exam time, there's 800 benches stacked here with chairs because they're writing exam at the school. And often we don't always have that notice. So we arrive here on a Sunday morning and we get surprised. And we've got 8 people in community if you're lucky. And now you get confronted with, wow. 800 benches. Can I tell you? Your heart for serving gets tested when you walk into a room like that. Or when you're in a community and, hey guys, we want serving this Sunday. Who wants to join? And it's just like, krik, 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 krik. You know what I mean? Have you felt that before? It's a reality. Whereas if you own a building, I mean, we would love to have a building, but there are pros and cons to it. If you own a building, everything is set up already, most of the times. So you arrive at church, everything is there for you, right? So I'm not against owning buildings. I'm just saying we are in a season where we get to enjoy being confronted with serving a lot. This is very good for us. It keeps every one of us active. If you arrive at a building, everything is slick and happening and, you know, whatever. How many of you will still arrive ready to serve? We can get so used to, and and so familiar with how things are going, but this keeps us active. And so when we arrive at church, or when we arrive in community, or during the week when we get an opportunity to serve, we should go as a servant, which means when I arrive, I'm not yet to just back a chair and that's my serving for the day. I arrive as a servant, which means whatever is needed, I'll do. You see the change of heart's posture. Because if your role is, I'm here to pack a chair, that's great, do it well. But a servant is there to do whatever, whenever. Which means if the chairs are done, I'm looking around, where else can I serve? Where else can I serve? I'm here because I'm not here for me, I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve. So where can I serve? If you arrive at church with that heart, I can guarantee you, you're going to grow. You are going to grow in the Lord, because that's who Jesus is. I believe, personally, when Jesus entered the room, he looked, who can I serve? He's looking, asking the Father, who can I serve? What can I do practically? But also, who can I serve? But to be honest, often when I enter a room, I'm so self-conscious. I look at how people are perceiving me. I'm aware of how I dress. I'm aware of who's looking at. I'm just being real. But when you come as a servant, you don't care about that stuff. It's not about you. It's about the other person. And that's what I believe is that's the heart of Jesus. He is serving. And then secondly, and I don't know if you picked that up on that scripture, but serving is all about humility. Nederigheid. Humility. Serving is about that. You know, recently, we're into running nowadays, my wife and I, and we just bought running shoes recently, and we entered this shop where they sell running shoes, and, you know, there are people that's there to serve you. You know what I'm talking about? How can I help you? No, I'm looking for this shoe, and they kind of go, okay, maybe try this shoe. Can I get you the right size? Try this one on, and finally, you take those shoes, and then what do they tell you? Hey, just tell them that until John helped you. Okay, thanks. And you walk away, and you go, and you pay for your shoes, and off you go. But at the very heart is because I'm here to serve you with an agenda. And I mean, it's their job, it's sales, and you have to kind of do that. But often we pull that through into church. I'm here to serve you. And just tell the guy that John helped you. Just tell I helped you. And often, you know what I mean? That's not humility. It's an agenda that creeps through. And often it's built on flesh. And it's a need to be seen. It's a need to be recognized. And I mean, nothing against those guys. They have to do it. They get commission and recognition in their workplace. And that's how they get promoted and all of that. And so you have to do that in a workplace. Not in church. Not in church. There's no place for flesh in church, because it's God's house. It's God's church. If he wants you to be seen, he'll make you be seen, if that makes sense. But if you fight for it, you shouldn't be seen. If you fight for recognition, you shouldn't be recognized. But if you humble, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. You need to be seen, Lord. You need to be recognized in our midst. The Lord sees that humility, and he goes, I'll bless that. I'll bless that. Where there's humility, I'll be there. But where there's no humility, the presence of Jesus leaves the room. And God is calling us to have a heart of humility, a heart of, man, it's not about me. It's not about wanting to be recognized. It's about Jesus, and it's about his bride. It's not about me. This is challenging, eh? Because serving can so quickly become this noble thing where, man, I'm just so humble. I just want to serve. But at the core, in the heart, it often can become about you. And it's not about us. It's about him. And can I say for those who if you here in this room feel like you've got the gift of serving, because it is a spiritual gift, by the way. For some, it just feels like, man, God has given you this gift to serve. And don't be too humble, yeah? Just kind of raise your hand quickly if you feel like you've got the gift of serving. There's a few of you. And can I ask you and others as well that feels like, man, I'm serving a lot. Don't get frustrated when other people are not serving like you. Don't get frustrated. Because what happens is we can serve because this is who I am. I'm always there at the regional equip. I mean, all of us served. And now, you know, someone, for example, doesn't arrive for their duty and they're not there to serve, which they gave their name up to do. And now we get frustrated because we're here to serve and now you're not here. And again, when there's frustration, pride comes in. Frustration and humility can't sit on the same table. They can't. And so whenever that you get confronted with that feeling of, man, why am I the only one serving? Why isn't the other serving? Rather, be humble. Encourage the people around you. Bring them with, hey, can you come and join me? You know, for those of you in communities, if you just ask broadly, hey, who can help serve? You're probably not going to get a very high strike rate. But if you go individually, hey, Enrique, can you come and help me this Sunday? We need to do this and that. I get him to do it, and I do that. It takes work, but we gather people around us to help us serve. We encourage people to, for where you are at, come and help contribute to the household of God. And it helps us to not get frustrated in these times. It keeps us humble, eh? Serving keeps you humble. It really does. And can I just remind us of the scripture, which I just read in Philippians. Where is it now? Value others above yourselves. The translation I've got. Value others above yourselves. Isn't that beautiful about humility? You're not thinking about you. You're thinking about the other person. You value that person above your own interests. And that's the way of serving. That's the way of God. You know, and it feels like I'm hammering this thing this morning, but I want to, because serving is such a valuable part of us as a church and us as Christians. But, you know, the reason we become prideful in when we serve is often we find our worth in what we do. Often we find our acceptance and our recognition in what we do, rather in what Jesus did. If you're going to serve and this is who I am that chair guy. I am that sound guy. I am that coffee guy. This is who I am. It really can become a crutch which you lean on as you walk with Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want us to walk with crutches in this way. I mean, I'm not talking physically. I mean, it's a crazy world. It's a broken world, sinful world. And there's many sicknesses and illnesses that we need to live with at times. But I'm speaking spiritually and gifting-wise. We can't have our gifting as our crutch. We need to be secure in the Lord. He is our position. He is the one that accepts us based on what He has done on the cross, not on what you have done or didn't do. He is the one that we build our lives on. And so, can we live that way? Can we live that way? And so, humility is key. And I just touched on the third point that I want to share. And when it comes to serving, we need to be secure in the Lord. We need to be secure in the Lord. You know, it's only Jesus that will satisfy. It is only Jesus that will satisfy. We cannot find our satisfaction in serving. Even if it's a good thing, we cannot find our satisfaction there, but rather in the person that came to serve, which is Jesus. He is the one. And can I say this? If you are secure in the Lord, the direct result will be that you want to serve. Because that is who God is. I just said that. That is who God is. So if you are rooted in Him, if you are secure in the Lord, the direct result will be, what is He? So His love, and His many other things as well, but His love, and He is a servant. And so if you're rooted in Him, you automatically want to do what He called us to do, which is love others and serve others. Amen? And Your gift is not where you get your worth from. It's not your identity. It's not where we get our sense of self-worth from. And I know today in many of the messages that's been shared in churches around the world is about you are so worth it. There's so much self-worth on you. Actually, no, man. I'm here to serve. It's not about me. It's about Jesus that's worth it. He is the one that's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. It's about Him. And when I'm rooted in Him, He accepts me and He gives me worth when I'm rooted in Him. Not the other way around. And I want to encourage each one of us. If you're in this church, if you're walking with us as a church, man, you are a son or a daughter in His house. You don't have to fight for a position. You don't have to strive for whatever looks glamorous. You're a son and a daughter in His house. You serve from that place. You don't serve to become that. You serve from a place of, man, God has accepted me. I'm a son in His house. And when I'm a son in His house, I belong. I belong here. I don't have to kind of put a front on and do the right things, let the right people see what I'm doing so that I can be recognized as a son in the house. If you are here and you're saved and you are following Jesus with us, man, you're a son in the house. You're a daughter in His house. We don't have to strive for these things. We don't have to strive for recognition or wanting to be seen. And I mean, can I say this? Even if no one sees, even if no one recognizes, Jesus sees. Jesus recognizes you. He does. He's not oblivious of what's happening here. Sometimes we can live for the approval of man, but we forget about Him. And it's about Him. God sees. Do it for Him, even if no one recognizes. All right. Is that all right? Does it make sense? We need to become secure in the Lord as children in His house. You know, there's really no place for jealousy and jostling for position. It really isn't. And so even Yoandre and I, we love, every now and then, we love to go to a restaurant. And I've shared this before, and it's really something we can at times just recently we hosted a couple from Benoni at the Regional Equip. Many of you hosted with us. And so we hosted this couple and we were ready to bless them, man. We opened up our house wide and we were like, man, we want to bless you guys, we wanna host you well. And in doing that, they blessed us so much. It almost felt like they hosted us, you know, in our house. And when they left, they gave us a little voucher to a restaurant. Hey man, we just want to bless you. Go leave your boyki at Oma and Opa and then just go to a restaurant, just have a nice time as a couple. And we were like, yo, we didn't expect this, we didn't ask for it. But it was such a massive blessing. And so we arrive at this restaurant with cash now. And we are ready to have a good meal. And there is a sense of, man, the restaurant needs to know we're important. We've got the moolah, give us the best table. And we asked for the best table, and there's almost this sense of importance, although we are actually nothing, they don't know us at all. And anyway, but we felt like we are important. And we have our meal, and we kind of, you know, why is the waiter taking so long? And we almost a bit very pedantic in how we want things, and very perfectionistic in what we want and what we need, because we are paying for this. And I mean, it's a bit of a funny story, but that's not what the church is about. The church is actually having a family meal, having a family dinner, rather than going to a restaurant wanting to be served. A family dinner is you're a son and a daughter in this house, which means when you arrive, you actually come prepared, ready to give, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because that's who God is, and that's who we should be. And so we come ready to give. We come ready to help out where needed. We don't have to, you know, try and be a son in the house here, or trying to, I hope my dad sees me. And it's like, no, this is who I am. I'm a son in His house. I'm here to serve. Whatever is needed, whenever it's needed, I'm there. That's a family dinner. It's so opposite than a restaurant dinner. And the Lord is calling us as a church to be a family. Not approaching church as a restaurant. Coming to church, coming to a building. Why is these chairs so hard? Why is it so warm? Why is it so cold? Whatever we can find something to complain about. But rather, this is our family. This is our house. We come to serve. We're there afterwards, helping clean up. We're there before and helping to set up. We're here contributing in whichever capacity, because it's a family. And when you're at the family dinner, it's not about you, it's about the family. Have you realized that? Sometimes we think, no, this family dinner is about me. They need to ask me, how am I doing? And those type of things. But it's not about, it's about the family, it's about the house, whatever is needed. And that's how we should approach serving. Amen? And then lastly, when it comes to serving, I want to say it's important to be faithful. It's important to be faithful with what God has given you. It's vitally important. You know, we are all different. Have you realized that? We're not here building a church of a certain group of people or a certain language or a certain this or that. We are a group of people that's all different. And each one is needed for this thing to work. For the house of the Lord to work, is each one is needed. It's not just the specialist up front. It's about every person that's here. If God has added you here, you are needed in this house. You are needed. And no matter what it is God has given you, be faithful with it. And I want to read the scripture in Luke 16. Listen to this. 10 and 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy with handling worldly wealth, we will trust you with true riches. And it's actually in the context of money, which is interesting, because we get to serve even with our money. We get to serve God through our money as well. So be faithful in that. That is serving. Serving is not just the thing up front. It's that thing when no one sees. That's serving. But there's a principle here of being faithful with the little. God will entrust you over more. And it's not just finances. That more is actually true riches. It's people. Having influence in people's lives. Advancing His kingdom. If you are faithful with the one, let's say God laid it on my heart, I need to spend time with Johan. Johan is kind of just backsliding completely, and I need to get him back on the road. And just, oh Lord, why this guy? I'm kidding, he's actually doing so well. But God has asked me to spend time with Johan. Am I faithful with that one? Because yes, we want to plant churches and we want to go to the nations, but if you're not faithful with the one, how can God trust you with more? More people. Be faithful. You know, recently we had a very well-known rugby player in Josh Jen. He moved across to a different country. Brian Abana. I don't know if I'm sure many of us know Brian Abana is. And he's probably one of the best wingers in the world, actually. I think he scored the most tries in the World Cup in history, or most tries in South Africa as well. So, I mean, this is Brian Abana, who is one of the best wingers in the world, right? If Brian Abana goes to a scrum, that's where a group of big guys, you know, kneel down and they scrum against the other team to take possession of the ball. If Brian Abana gets into that position, I don't care if you're the best winger in the world, you're not going to win that ball for us. You know what I mean? There's a specific position that Brian Abana has to fill in that rugby team. And so then you get the front rowers where that's their thing. They just pure beef, and they are just there to, you know, make the other guys look good, actually. That's what they're all about. And they're there to just show some muscle and get possession of the ball. But if they don't do their work, and they are standing on the side of the field where the wingers are standing, sorry for the rugby illustration, if they are standing there, the whole team is missing out on where we could be because of them. And the important thing is that each person has a position to fill. Each person has a function to fill. And it's not about the wing. Oh, the wing. Or whatever else position they are. It's about the team. I don't care who scores the try as long as the team scores the try. If the winger scores the try, which is mostly the case, the whole thing isn't, oh, Brian Obana is the whole team. No. If it wasn't for the other 14 people, Brian Obana probably wouldn't have scored so many tries. And do you see this picture that we need to take hold of in church? It's not about one specific position. It's about the team. It's about the family. It's about the church. And whether Brian Obana gets all the recognition, it really doesn't mind because we are winning. We are winning as a team. And we need to have that heart. And we need to celebrate the different parts in church. We need to celebrate those who are making coffee and arriving early, packing chairs, and those who are giving faithfully, like Enrico encouraged us to do, without people even noticing and seeing. And you get what I'm saying? Jesus actually says, you think, you know, the ones who are most important, they are those up front. But actually, no, it's the least, those who are the least, that God actually sees as the important ones. That's humility. Because this world is about you need to be seen. And I want to say in your workplace, you need to work hard. You need to actually make yourself presentable in your workplace and be a good worker. But in the kingdom, just be careful. Just be careful to bring that same attitude in church. Does that make sense? You need to still be humble in work and all of that. I'm not saying be prideful. But we need to celebrate the different gifts. We need to celebrate the differences. We need to celebrate that. You know, I'll maybe end with this. We do this for the Lord. In Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Not half-heartedly, just doing enough. With all your heart, I'm here to pack this chair like perfectly. Why? As working for the Lord, not for men. So whatever you do, I'm here to, as if the Lord is here, I'm doing it for Him. And yes, He works through church and all of that, and so we're aware of people. But actually, ultimately, we're doing it for Him. We're doing it for Him. Those guys, I'm just hearing that kid, those in kids' church, they often miss out on these times. Is it because my preaching is boring? I hope not. But it's actually because, man, I'm here to serve and I'm working it as unto the Lord. I'm here to build God's house. Whatever is needed, whenever it's needed. That's the heart of God. And it means we don't just come here to a building. We come here ready to serve, being servants, ready to love. And so, in closing, I want to say, have a willing heart. Have an available heart. And especially in a church that's this size, when you do something once, doesn't mean that's your thing for the rest of your life. Whatever is needed, whenever it's needed, and whoever is needed. Which means, Johan can lead a meeting this morning. It doesn't mean he's going to do it again. Not because he didn't do a good enough job. We're not into that. But whatever is needed, whenever it's needed, whoever. It's about the team winning. It's about the church winning. It's about Jesus winning. Whether I'm sitting on the bench and the team is winning, I still get a medal. You saw at the World Cup, there's guys in track suits. They didn't even play in that match. They get medals. I'm like, who's that guy? And then I find out that's the physio or something. You know what I mean? It's not someone that's in your face, but they still get a medal. So have that heart of being willing and available. I mean, communities. How many changes have we made in communities? Community leaders. And this week you're leading. 2 weeks, no, someone else is leading. And no, it's that guy. It's not about you. It's about whatever is needed for the church and whatever we need now. But if you're going to know you're taking away my position of community leader, that's a crutch. That became a crutch to you. You know, recently I had this moment with the Lord where, you know, I get to lead a congregation now and I'm traveling to different churches and it's busy. And I had this moment where I had to reevaluate my heart. Am I doing this as a job or am I doing this because I want to serve? And this question dropped in my heart. If Andrew Selly, who leads Josh Jane and Full 12, if he calls me right after my preach and he asks me, Hoya, I just want you to maybe just step down for a season. I actually want Francho to come and lead, or just I feel like it's a time where he's going to do a better job than you. Maybe if you can maybe just go and find a job somewhere. Maybe for a while not be an elder, just be part of the church. You know, will that be all right? And it's a good question because, I mean, a lot of what I do is this. What I do day in, day out is this. This is how I live for years now. It's been almost 12 years that I'm doing this. And honestly, I can, I hope I don't get tested with this, but honestly, my heart was, cool. Whatever is needed. Whatever is needed. It's not about me. It's not about me. Because if I wobble in any way, it's a crutch. Then it actually becomes an idol. And think about your position in church. Where are you now? If we ask you, hey, Enrico, maybe just for a season, you and Elise, I just feel like as deacons, maybe just step aside for a while. Will you wobble in any way? Or will you be like, okay, whatever is needed. It's hard, eh? But that's the test of whether you're actually dead to self or not. Whether it's really about Jesus or is there slightly a bit of you in you. And it's a hard test, but I want to put that standard up here. It's not about us. It's about His house. It's His house that we're building. And don't be passive in it. No, I'm scared I'm going to make a mistake. I'm rather just going to sit somewhere where no one recognizes me. No, you be faithful. If God called you to be part of the worship team, you need to be on that WhatsApp group at least. You know what I mean? So do your part. Because if you're faithful with the little, what God has entrusted you with, He will entrust you with more. And I'm really ending now, but there's a scripture in where is it now? Proverbs 11. Yeah, thanks. Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Just keep it on. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. But often we come, I need to be refreshed. You're probably going to walk away disappointed. And I mean, there is that hunger in the Lord's presence where you, Lord, come and refresh me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that heart of serving others. That heart of serving. And in giving, it's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you have went on an outreach where the whole point of an outreach is you reaching out to them? And you do that, you come away like, yo, they kind of blessed me so much. Felt like they blessed me more. It's godly. It's a godly principle. So if you come to church, if you go to a community, if you go to a coffee with someone, and you go to refresh that person, guess what's going to happen? You're going to walk away refreshed. And so I want to pray for us this morning as we close this time.